looking out at the devastation. I'm still here.
Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because he is Lord. And that means he's above all. And while in the world, and in the world, in the world system, people battle it out for power and control and to manipulate and to do things, and some of them working on the side of the enemy, and some of them seeking to follow Christ and do the will of the Father and all of that. But remember that above it all, there is a king. There's a reason he's called the King of Kings. There's a reason he's called the Lord of Lords. That means there may be kings on this earth. There may be little else lords on this earth. But there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. He is their king. Even if they don't like it, he's still their king. Even if they don't like it, he's still their Lord. He's still above them. He still has authority over them. He still makes the decision. And when whatever he decrees goes, whenever he speaks, things happen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we're told in the Psalms. We're told that in Psalms. And I always... It's always either Psalm 23 or 24. And those two, because they blur together for me, because on the other side of that one as well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So we are on the journey and going with him, and God is with us, and he's above it all. So despite the fact that they want to do all of these things, people want to do all sorts of things, but they lose perspective when they forget that all above and this entire thing belongs to our Heavenly Father. This entire thing belongs to Jesus Christ, who finished and completed his assignment on earth, and he won. And in him winning and completing and doing all that was necessary for us to go forward has been done in him. So in him we live and move and have our being. And that's why the enemy works so hard to separate us from being in Christ Jesus, because he knows that if he can break us off, if he can get us separate from the vine, if he can make us of our free will choose to walk away from the Father, because the enemy knows that nothing can take us out of his hand. No height, nor depth, no angel, nor demon, no power, no principality. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can pull us out of his hand. That said, if we of our free will choose to turn our back on God, if we of our free will choose to align ourselves with the world, then the enemy puts us into a position of compromise. Then the enemy puts us into a position where we are broken off, where we are separate from him by our choice, by our choosing. See, there's an amazing mystery going on in this world and in this time while we're here on the earth. And part of that mystery is the expression of free will and choice. But in choosing, there's consequences. You know, I had a good friend of mine one time told me, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. It's very true. You can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. You know, and people sometimes they get angry. They're like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, go do it. But you can't choose the consequence of it. That's why God says choose life. That's why you want to choose life. You want to choose his way, because when you choose to follow Christ, the consequences of that is life. The overflow of that is truth. The overflow of that is peace. The overflow of that is a fulfilled life, which is what you want. You know, a lot of people that go chase after money and power and success in this world, the part of the reason why they do that is because they think that money, power, success, and all those other things will give them a fulfilled life, and it will not. It will not, because I tell you what, throughout my life, I've known tons of people from tons of walks of life, and I've known some of the most famous people this world has to offer, And I'm not going to name drop here, but I'm just going to let you know that I know these people on first name basis. I've known some of the most wealthy people the world has to offer on multiple continents. I've known some of the most powerful people, you know, and sometimes they all go together, sometimes they don't, sometimes they're split up in little pockets and pieces and all of that. But I tell you what, if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have Him leading and guiding your life, you're missing the source of fulfillment. You're missing the source of peace. You're missing the source of what's real. And you will not find it in any other way. So now, in the midst of this reality, in the midst of the fact that fulfillment comes from Him, peace comes from Him, He's the Lord and He's the King above it all. So now, when you, the follower of Christ, have aligned yourself with truth, when you, the follower of Christ, have aligned yourself with Him, now the overflow of that alignment is the life in you and the expression of who God has for you to be while you're on the earth at such a time as this. Now, we've been given, every one of us has been given individually different talents, different skills, different abilities. And, you know, in God, He gives to every person according to their ability. He knows what you can do. Sometimes people are like, oh, I can't do it. Well, don't worry about it, because God's not given you probably then a lot. But what He has given you, He expects you to use according to His purpose. So the parable of the talents, where God gave the master that was going on a journey, He gave 1 5, He gave 1 2, He gave 1 1. Because the guy He gave 5, He knew he was capable. So He said, okay, I know this guy can do something with 5, so I'm going to give him 5. And the one that was capable to work with 2, He knew this guy was capable, so He gave him 2. And then the one that He was like, well, you know what, this guy can still do something, so I'm going to give him 1. He knew he could do something with 1. So He put different measures of talents in each one of those guys' hands and went on his journey. And when he came back, he wanted to settle accounts. And what happened? The guy that had done something with the 5 came back and had 5 more. And he said, Lord, the 5 that you gave me, I got 5 more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, it's like, and then the one that did something with 2, notice, the one that did something with 2 turned around, created 2 more, and God said the exact same thing to him as the guy that did something with the 5. He was not given a little extra. He was not, as far as, like, you know, what He said to him. He used the exact same words with him. Exact same words. Point being that you know, He gave according to their ability. They responded according to the opportunity and what they could do. And in doing so, God seeing the heart and knowing the result and all of that there as well, they were both viewed in the same esteem as their master, by their master, for what they had done. So, see, don't think like the world thinks. You don't got to think like the world thinks. The world will tell you, oh, okay, well, if you get 5 more as compared to if you get 2 more, then you're just better. You're twice as good as the other guy. No. No. You do what the Father has given you to do. You do with what God's put in your hand to do. And you do all things as unto the Lord. And your reward is great in the kingdom of heaven. But to the one that was given the 1... And you know what? He just needed to do something with the 1, but he didn't. What did he do? He went and he buried it in the ground. And when the master came back, the master called him. When the master came back to settle accounts, what did he do? He went and dug it up from the ground and brought it back and said, I know you're a hard man, you're a difficult person. So he's trying to put it on him. He said, my gosh. But he's trying to put it on him. Oh, you know, you're a hard guy. You're a tough guy. I was scared. I was nervous to try. I was nervous to try to do anything. I was nervous to put my hand to anything. I was nervous because of the consequence, the possibility that I might fail. The possibility that I might, things might not go well. The possibility that you might say something bad. So it's all you. It's all in you, right? How many people blame God for their situation, their lot in life, their circumstance? A small side note here, there's a proverb that says a man's ways destroys his own life, and yet his heart rages against God. That's in the Proverbs too. It's absolutely true. I've seen so many people that, again, back to what we first said, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. So there's people that are out there, and they decide to choose against what God has put in His Word and His instructions. They decide to choose against what God has clearly laid out. Then they destroy their own life because the consequences for their choices, and then they turn around and then they get mad at God. Now, do you see how stupid that is? Do you see how foolish that is to destroy your own life with your own hands and then turn around and blame God? Now, here's the thing, all right? Repentance is a great thing, because repentance is like, look, wherever you're at, Father, I'm sorry. Lord, please put me on your path. Please direct me, lead me, guide me in your will and your way, because I just want to follow you. And that's a great starting place, and let Him sort through and show you, and then He shows you the way to go, and then you go in it. But back to the talents. So what did the guy with the one? Well, what, you know, if he would have just gone and done something, even the master told him, look, if you would have at least put it on exchange with the money changers or the bankers, at least something would have come back from this. At least I would have come back and got my cash back with interest. I could have done that. I could have put that over there with them and not thought about it. But I gave it to you because I knew you were capable, and you chose to do what? You choose to put it in the ground. You choose to bury it. You choose to hide it. And not just that, what is the ground good for? The ground, you can grow something in the ground. You could plant a bush. You could plant herbs. You could plant a tree that would produce fruit. You could have planted all kinds of things in the ground, but you chose to put this in the ground and take up the ground, and basically everything stopped with you. Nothing moved forward with you, and you just sat there and waited and watched. How many people over the course of this spiritual war and this fight that we've been in have just sat there and waited and watched and complained against God? Sat there, waited, watched, complained against God. Now, what did God call this guy? You wicked and lazy servant. And He threw him out. I mean, whew. You know, take the one and give it to the guy that's got the 10 now. And they're like, well, he's got a lot. He's like, yeah, but he's going to do something with it. Listen, we're not called into this life to sit around and twiddle your thumbs and to watch and pass judgment on everything else going on around you while you bury the talents that God has put in your life, whatever they may be, however great or small that they may be, and just to pass judgment on everything going on around you and call that life, and then turn around when this whole thing is done, and then stand before Him and then say, well, I knew you were a tough guy, and this was kind of a rough assignment, so here's your talent back. It's called wicked and lazy in the scriptures. Listen, if you don't have arms and don't have legs and can't move, you can still pray. You can still engage. You can still seek the face of the Lord. You can still do certain things. You can still add certain things. You can still be part of what is going on in this life and in this world. There's so much that can be done, but you want to hear the instructions from the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. You want to hear from Him. You don't want to act in your own ideas and your own devices. You don't want to engage in things based on your own understanding. No, you want to hear from Him. You want to understand from Him. You want to be led and guided by Him. That is what you need. That is the source of your understanding. That's the source of your provision. And that's the source of your direction. So it's got to be His Lordship. See, this stuff has been getting more and more clear in time as we've all continued to go forward in this stuff. And we understand how we live. Now, listen, you got to also understand, too, that the more that you continue to move forward in the truth, the more that you're just going to shine bright. And as you shine bright, all kinds of things are attracted to light. All kinds of things are attracted to the light that's in you. But you have to be mindful of that, because on one level, there's going to be a lot of things that are coming your way that maybe you don't necessarily want around you. So you have to be vigilant. You're in a warfare while you're here in this life. And you've been given an assignment. You've been given talents. You've been given skills. You've been given abilities. There are things that need to happen. There are things that need to take place. And also in the middle of that, too, you've got the enemy of your soul that's seeking to dump trash into your life to slow you down, to seeking to... Because there are challenges. There are chances for quote-unquote failure. There are all kinds of things that are... You know, all that's there. Of course it is. But in Christ, listen, God already knows and He's with you in this. So He's seeking to lead you and guide you, create the opportunities, help you understand. Listen, you may 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You know, we're sent into the battle. We're sent into the difficult spots. But in going into those difficult spots, still, God's with you. God's leading you. God's guiding you. You know, I tell you what, man, my sisters, brothers, listen, you know, whenever, it's amazing. I mean, like, I'm more probably aware today, than at probably any other times in my life, because I understand more. Now, this is because God's opening my eyes to see more and more. Sometimes it's a little bit hard, because some of it is a bit traumatic when you realize, whoa, that's where people are coming from. Whoa, that's what that person was trying to say. Just the other day, I hadn't been out for the day, and then I went to a place, and first person I meet walking into this spot comes over and starts talking to me, and this person just got straight up demon inside this person, trying to speak cryptic things to me. Now, here's the thing, like, first of all, when the enemy starts manifesting around you, we don't deal with those things on a natural level. Your battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. You are shining light, and the enemy is going to try to come over, and they're going to try to, they're just going to do what they do. Sometimes I wonder if some of them may understand what they're doing, some of them may not. And sometimes they just want to test and see, you know, where you're at. And the enemy is going to always try to pull you into the world system, because, you know, there's a bounty on you. So they're going to try to seduce you in, bribe you in, oppress you to, or crush you, or push you to the outskirts so that you never have any opportunity. All those things are just part and parcel for the course. Now, here's the other side of it too, though. At the same time, when we walk through this life, God uses us. So, like that person from the other day, God uses me in that situation in a very brief moment, and it wasn't a very long conversation. But the Spirit of the Lord tags that person. And my buddy Zeff talks about this on his show. He breaks it down pretty clearly of what happens in those contexts. But God, by His Spirit, marks that person. And either they repent and get right with God, and God will create that opportunity, or they just die in it. But things start to dry up for them in the world. Things start to fall apart for them in the world. they start getting cut off in the world. They start in the world, they start having cooties in the world system, and the world will start backing off of them because now they've been marked. They've been marked. They've gotten too close, and all of a sudden they've been marked. Whatever they were trying didn't work. Now they've been marked. Whatever they said didn't work. Now they've been marked. And that's what they don't want. See, here's the thing. The enemy needs to work in the darkness. The enemy needs to work in obscurity. And if what the enemy does is exposed, is brought out into the light, the enemy loses half of his power, half of her power in that situation right away, just when things are exposed. So, you know, we're coming to, a little bit of a head on some of the geopolitical stuff in the U.S. And usually in these talks, they're pretty timeless. But, you know, this is an opportune time to share a couple things here as well. If you look at this geopolitical way that things have rolled out in the U.S. in the current election, with Trump and Clinton, well, if you look at what's happened when things have just been brought into the light and things have just been exposed and both things that have been disinformation as well as things that have been straight up information. And God has been doing so many things in responding to the prayers that we've been praying. But you look at what happens to the worlders. You look at what happens to the witchcraft systems. When things are exposed, they lose their power. When things are brought out, and when you pray, things change. So as we've been praying, and we've been joining others in times of prayer as well, and we've just seen the hand of God. Because why? Because He's the King of Kings. He's above it all. So as we are being led by His Spirit to pray and to move certain things into the realm of the natural, things change. Are we praying for ourselves? Are we praying for, our specific little pet projects? No. No, we're praying, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And as we are praying in line with what the Spirit of God is instructing us to pray, because it's God's will that's coming to pass, because He's the King, not them. He's the Lord, not them. He's the one overall, not them. He's the one that they give an account to Him, not the other way around. And as He, the King of Kings, is rising up and saying, here's what I want done here, and I'm going to have these things prayed and proclaimed over lands and nations in this world. We're seeing it. And in people's vanity and in people's delusion, they seek to align themselves as on the other side, apart from God and against Him. And they do so to their own destruction. Whereas those that would bow their knee before the King of Kings and submit to His lordship, they align themselves with truth in this time. See, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. If a person will seek His face, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, the door's open. But if you turn your back on Him, well, you do so to your own destruction. You turn your back on life when you turn your back on Him. You turn your back on truth when you turn your back on God. You turn your back on peace, because He's the Prince of Peace, when you turn your back on God. And where are you going when you turn your back on God? Well, you're going towards the world. And what's in the world? The world has the thief. And the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so then you look at the worlders and those that are servants of the world, and what have they done? They've steal and kill and they destroy. Now the irony for me, and this is probably the toughest thing for me to have witnessed in this entire thing, was the unmasking of the people in the church system, because they have a form of godliness but they deny the power thereof. The unmasking of the people in the church system who were the ones who also wanted to use Jesus' name to validate themselves but they are completely in lockstep with the world. And completely, they have, as the Pharisees said when they were trying to get Jesus crucified before Pilate, and they said, "We have no king but Caesar." You know, whew, okay, that's where you're going with that. So they have drunk the Kool-Aid. And they have killed themselves because they refuse to love the truth, and so they give themselves over to the lie. Listen, here's how we've prayed, and we've talked about praying like this. Is you put this before God. Father, if I'm off on anything, Lord God, I ask that you would correct me and lead me and guide me into all truth. Because you are truth, and I don't want to miss you, and I don't want to miss what you're doing. So, Lord, I give it to you, and I invite you to correct and lead and guide me in the way that you want me to go, so that I can be in perfect step with you, in Jesus' name, amen. That's what you want to pray. Because then now it's Him. And you do that in just straight before Him. Allow Him to lead you and guide you. But what I've seen in the church, the system, the organization of the church, is man and woman committed to their own selfish and world-backed opinions, trying to say what God should do, who God should be, how God should interpret things, and so attached to them being Lord in their own life and not Jesus, and they want to use Jesus' name to validate themselves and to validate and to give power to deception and to a lie. Oh my gosh, you're in a dangerous place if you're doing that. You're in a dangerous place if you're doing that. I tell you what, I dare say that somebody like Hillary Clinton, who's a straight-up occultic witch, is in... I mean, it's a toss-up for me of, in my own thinking, of who's in a more dangerous spot. I almost think she's because here's the thing, you are lying on God. At least you know that that's a witch. At least you know that that's an occultic Satanist, a Jezebel, serving the devil and seeking to do the will of the devil. But you, who play this game with God, you come as an angel of light. And you stand there as an Ananias and a Sapphira, seeking to work your way in and weasel your way in with deception in your heart. And you seek to make your home and nestle yourself in around the true people of God. Do you not realize that you can drop down at any second, just like they did? How has Satan so filled your heart that you thought you could lie before God and not be seen and not be known? You're in a dangerous spot. You're in a dangerous place. Think about that. Repent and get right in the window that you have. This life, my brothers and sisters, this is just a dressing room for eternity. This is just a place where we come through, but we're doing the things that Father has for us while we're here. But this is not our home. This belongs to God, but this life in this current state that it's in, this is not it for us. But God does intend for us to engage in a particular way while we're here. So we need to do that. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what the Father is doing. I'm excited for what life is becoming. And And I know some of you have been feeling and being oppressed by the witchcraft. Listen, there's going to be a lot of that, all right? They're just going to try to throw things out. And just remember that when you start to feel this stuff and these crazy thoughts start coming into your head and the depression starts coming your way and the questioning thoughts about things in life start coming your way, remember, these are all coming from outside. This is not you. This is the enemy sending it your way to try to try to take you out of the game, to try to put fear in your heart so you bury your talent in the backyard and you sit there and you just watch. That's the enemy's trying to do that to you, trying to get you to comply. No, you don't do that. You realize where that's coming from. You seek the Father's face. You bind the devil in Jesus' name. You bind the witchcraft spirits in Jesus' name. And you send that stuff back. You don't hold on to it. You send it back. In Jesus' name, you send it back. And you wrap that stuff around the neck of the enemy. And you let that stuff stay on them. And either they repent or they die. This is a war. This is not... You know what? Here's another issue I've got with the church system. They worked very hard to train people to just be complete, total pansies. Where's the warfare? Where's the fight? Where's the understanding of who you are in Christ? What you were called into when you signed up to follow Jesus Christ? Where is that? They worked so hard to make you good for nothing. Not fit for service. Not understanding what you're in the middle of. You're in a war. And if you don't start using the weapons of your warfare, you're going to be slammed to the ground. Listen, we don't play. Now, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to fight on your behalf, but you need to get into this fight. If you're hearing this day, you, brother and sister in Christ Jesus, you need to take your place on the spiritual line and align up with the spiritual warfare that needs to happen and allow the Spirit of God to flow through you and do the will of the Father and what He instructs you to do, period. There is no in between. Because God has things that He wants to have done. And to not do that is to do a disservice to the entire body of Christ and to God's intention for you while you're on the earth. So, this is it. This is it. You are here and called for this. So engage in the fight and know that God's with you. I want to pray with you guys really quick. Father, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God, so much for this day. I want to thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray right now, Father. I pray for each and every one of them. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would guide them and lead them, Father, as they seek your face. As they turn, Lord God. Lord, we as a people, as a body, as people all over the world that are listening to this right now, Father, we, Lord God, are seeking you. We're seeking you on behalf of the lives that you've given us to live on this earth. We're seeking you on behalf of everything that you've put under our authority and under our own care in our respective areas. We're seeking you on behalf of the nations that we live in and the places that we are a part of. Father, we're seeking you for your kingdom to come, your will to be done, Lord God, on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we pray for that, Father. We seek you and we ask you for that. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that there would just be a complete upending of the world system and the devil and all the devil's minions and all the devil's servants, that they would just be brought to nothing right now, Lord God. Father, instead, we just pray for light and truth to rise up, for power and strength to continue to go forward with your people and those that are seeking you, Lord God. Make a change, Father God, in this nation. By your hands and by your power, Lord God, in this nation, the nations around the world, Lord, make a change. Father, Lord, we ask for that. We seek you for that. We thank you for that, Lord God. We know that you that began a good work in each and every one of us is going to carry it on to completion, Father. But Lord, it's not just for us, Lord God. It's because of that which you have for us to do. So, Lord, you're making us meet for the Master's use. So, Lord God, use us, Father, according to your purposes, we pray. We encourage each other in Jesus Christ, knowing that you, Lord God, are going to complete the work that you've started in us. Thank you so much, Lord. We bless your name in Jesus' name, Father. We bless you, Lord God, and we bless one another in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. All right. Hey, we'll talk to you again sometime soon. Oh, and I think we're gonna be praying on Sunday morning early with Zeph and Patrick. So that already word is that call's already gone out. So if this goes up before then, you can join us on the live stream. But you got to do that over at I'm got to check like either ZephNet or the Zeph Report. You can search it there. So all right, love you guys. Talk to you later. God bless you. Bye.